just believe when you call on His name. Oh, touching Jesus is all that really matters. And in your life will never be the same. There's only one way to touch Him. Just believe when you call on His name. Sing it one more time. Yes, touching Jesus is all that really matters. And in your life, it'll never be the same. There's only, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. How many of you believe that's the truth tonight? You ever get touched by Him? It's a touch you'll never get over. Amen. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Isn't it good to be the house of the Lord tonight? Well, we had a time here Wednesday night, didn't we? Just stay hooked up, brother. Just stay hooked up. Oh, brother Jewel Forney, he's just nobody in the world like him, is there? But we're so glad for the ministry the Lord has placed in our brother's life. And every ministry is different. And well, just God, just He's a good God of variety. I love that, don't you? Are you glad to be in church tonight? Somebody say hallelujah. Now turn around, shake somebody's hand, give them a nice smile. Tell them you're glad to see them in church tonight. Praise the Lord. Brother Samuel, God bless you. Good to see you in church tonight, buddy. Appreciate you. Eddie, God bless you, buddy. Appreciate you. Oh, touching Jesus is all. Love you, buddy. Appreciate you. Love you, buddy. Appreciate you. And in your life, oh, it'll never be the same. There's only must believe when you call on His name. Sing it one more time. Oh, touching Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And in your life, it'll never be the same. One way to touch Him. You must believe when you call on His name. Praise the Lord. I'm going to let you be seated for a few minutes while we look at our prayer requests tonight. Got several things we want to let you know about. We want to remember the Lawson family. Sister Teresa Lawson's mother passed away on Thursday. The viewing is at the Frost Funeral Home in Abingdon, Virginia tonight from 6 until 8. And the burial will be Sunday at 2 o'clock. Please remember that family in your prayers as we pray tonight. Also, certainly want to continue to pray for Brother Bill Yance. Still in the hospital and still sick in body, needs a healing touch from our Lord. And we want to pray for Brother Bill tonight that God would just comfort him and his family, that church family over there in Elizabeth, and may God comfort their hearts also. Brother Junior Davis, certainly want to continue to pray for him. Been hearing some real good reports about Brother Junior. Just the Lord is helping our brother, and so we want to praise the Lord for that tonight. God is certainly good. We just appreciate what he's doing. Sister Janet Kennedy says to please remember a dear friend of mine from back home. Her name is Tammy Christian. She's in the intensive care unit with fluid around her heart. So we certainly want to remember that need tonight. Also want to remember Sister King in prayer. She is having problems with her heart, the veins in her legs, and arthritis. She is facing possible surgery to put stents in her legs. The forecast and the outlook is not really good. Maybe if they can do this, it would prevent her from losing one of her feet. So we just pray that the Lord would help in that situation and be with Sister King. Just Brother and Sister King, just precious people, aren't they? We love them tonight. I believe that's all of our written requests. Let me make a couple of announcements while we have you seated tonight. Now, three Wednesday nights ago, we saw the DVD of Sister Jessica Ward's Brother Darrell's testimony. They have those available in the library tonight if you'd like to pick one of those up. I think they're going for, $10. And Brother Darrell wanted, is that right? $7. Is it $7 now? Brother Darrell wanted to let you know that his family is not receiving any of the funds from that. It's going to the production of what this, DVD has cost, so he did want me to let you know that, but they do have those available over in the library tonight if you'd like to pick one of those up. It's just good to go back and look at it from time to time, isn't it? Certainly is. Want to welcome a family to our assembly tonight that have moved here from Arkansas, the Arndt family, Brother Warren, Sister Vicky, their daughter Sarah Grace, and their son Frederick. Where would you be? Just raise your hands over here tonight. Give those folks a nice hand. God bless you. Glad to have you tonight. May your journey with Happy Valley be sweet. We're glad to have you in our assembly. Praise the Lord. Well, are you glad to be a Christian tonight? Somebody say hallelujah. Give the Lord a big hand clap of praise if you love him tonight with all your heart. Oh, there's only one way to touch him. Just believe when you call on his name. Oh, touching Jesus is all that really matters. In your life will never be the same. There's only, hallelujah, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Oh, just believe his name. Brother Randall Gisendander, come tonight, lead us to the Lord. Let's invite the presence of our Lord into this service tonight. And we want to pray over all these requests. If you have an unspoken prayer request, the Lord sees it tonight. May God bless you. Brother Randall.
God bless you. Appreciate you. Let's just bow our heads. Eternal Father, what a privilege it is to be in your house this evening, Lord. Thank you for the gathering of your people tonight, Lord. Bringing us, Lord, many distances to be here to worship you in spirit and in truth with people of like precious faith. Thank you for bringing us here tonight, Lord, on a Saturday night. People are out partying, Lord, serving the devil, Lord, but here we are, Lord, to serve you, to worship you, Lord, to bring our little licks of fire together, Lord, to make the great pillar of fire. Thank you for meeting with us, Lord. I just pray you touch and minister to every heart, Lord, that's in this place tonight, Lord. Meet the needs of your people, Lord. The needs that were spoken by Brother Louis, Lord. It's on this paper, Lord, that I hold in my hand. I know you're mindful of each and every one, Lord. Brother Bill Yance comes to mind, Lord. He needs a touch from you just now, Lord. I just pray you send your angels. Touch our brother, Lord. May he be raised up, Lord, off the bed of affliction, Lord. May you just bring you back to good health, Lord. I just pray you grant it, Lord. Each and every need that was spoken, Lord, I just pray for each and every one. Pray you touch every heart in divine presence, Lord. As our brother would come out, Lord, to break the bread of life, Lord, would you speak to our hearts, Lord. Anoint our brother in a special way, Lord. May we receive strength for the journey. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Randall. God bless you tonight. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. If you're a visitor here with us tonight in the service, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you. All those that are streaming the service tonight, may God bless our brothers and sisters from around the world. Let's sing an old song of the church tonight, but it's still so good to be able to sing this song and be able to do it. Come and dine. How many of you know that we get to come and dine every time we come to the house of God? It's a buffet. It is a wonderful buffet that the Lord provides for us. Are you glad about it tonight? Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. Now give him another hand clap of praise tonight.
Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people, come and dine. With his manna he doth feed and supplies our every need. Oh, tis sweet to sup with Jesus. Oh, come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table. He who fed the multitude, turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine. The disciples came to land, thus obeying Christ's command. For the Master called to them, come and dine. There they found their heart's desire, bread and fish upon the fire. Thus he satisfies. Oh, come and dine. Come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. Come and dine. Now soon the Lamb will take his bride to be ever at his side. Oh, I'm looking forward to it. Oh, it'll be a glorious sight. And with Jesus eternally. So come and dine. Come and dine. All the time. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine. Now soon the Lamb will take his bride to be ever at his side. All the host of heaven will simple be. Oh, it'll be a glorious sight. And with Jesus we'll feast eternally. So come and dine, the Master calls. Come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table. He who fed the multitude. Oh, to the hungry calleth now. Come and dine. Oh, come and dine. Come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. Come and dine.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's sing one more song before I let you be seated tonight. I would not be denied. I'll tell you what, we don't know what we're going to face before we leave this place, but I want to stand true to the cause, don't you? How many of you want to be faithful to what God has revealed to you in this hour? If we can do that,
I believe we'll be pleasing to our Lord. Just be faithful. That's right. Stay hooked up, Brother Terry. Amen. Let's sing this little song tonight. I would not be denied. When pains of death seized on my soul, unto the Lord I cried, till Jesus came and made me whole. I would not be denied. No, I would not. No, I would not. Days of old, I wrestled with the Lord, an instant with a courage bold, I stood upon His word. I would not, no, I would not. Hallelujah. Till Jesus came and made me whole, I would not be denied. Now, old Satan said, my Lord was gone, and he would not hear my prayer. Oh, but praise the Lord, the work is done, and Christ our Lord is here. I would not. Oh, hallelujah. Denied. Oh, till Jesus came and He made me whole. I would not be denied. Now, old Satan said, our Lord was gone, and he'll never hear your prayer. Oh, but praise the Lord, the work is done, and Christ our Lord is here. I would not. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus, and He made me whole. I would not be denied. He's got it all in control. Sing it with me. He's got it all in control. Put that reassurance way down in my soul. He's got it all in control. Sing it with all your heart now. He's got it all in control. Do you believe it with all your heart? He's got it all in control. Put that reassurance way down in my soul. He's got it all in control. Sing it one more time, church. He's got it all. I'm so glad we can rest in that tonight. He's got it all. Well, He's put that reassurance. Well, He's got it all in control. Now, just one more time, I want us to sing that. Musicians, I want you not to play. I want you to sing with us tonight. We've got some dear friends, brothers and sisters that are
I've read them to you tonight, some of them, that's in dire, dire situations. And we know that we're serving a God that's got it all in control. And the thing about it is, these needs, if they stay, they win. If they leave here, they still win, Brother Terry. They're a winner either way. But we just want the perfect will of the Lord. And I want us to sing this chorus together tonight one more time. With all your heart, if you believe that God's got all these situations, and the situation, whatever it is in your life, if you believe He's got it all in control, let's sing it with all of our heart tonight. He's got it all in control. Sing it. He's got it all in control. He's put that reassurance way down in my soul. He's got it all in control. Can you do it again? He's got it all in control. He's got it all in control. He's put that reassurance way down in my soul. He's got it all in control. Now give me one more hand clap of praise as you're seated tonight. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Brother Jackie Benton. Brother Jackie, come tonight. You can be seated. God bless you. Brother Jackie has a song tonight for us. Let's enjoy him. We always love to hear our brothers sing, don't we? Brother Jackie is really... He is a celebrity overseas. I'm just saying that as a truth, Brother Terry. You know that's the truth. This guy goes places and people absolutely love him to death. Amen. And we kind of like you too. God bless you, buddy.
Amen. We're closer home than we was yesterday. Amen. And some call it heaven. But I call it home tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Some call it heaven. I call it home. Is that deep? Deep. Some call it heaven. I call it home. Some call it dreaming. Let me dream on. Some call it paradise. Somewhere beyond the sky. Some call it heaven. I call it home. Some call it heaven. I call it home. Some call it dreaming. Let me dream on. Some call it paradise. Somewhere beyond the sky. Some call it heaven. I call it home. Somewhere beyond the grave, there is a land where Jesus went to prepare by His own hand. And for the saved by grace, there is a resting place. And then a few more days it will be mine. Some call it heaven, I call it home. Some call it dreaming, let me dream on. Some call it paradise, somewhere beyond the sky. Some call it heaven, I call it home. Someone says you can't go back home again, and things will never be as good as they've been. I've got good news for you. When heaven comes in view, one glimpse and you'll know the best, it's yet to come. Amen. Some call it heaven, I call it home. Some call it dreaming, let me dream on. Some call it paradise, somewhere beyond the sky. Some call it heaven, I call it. Sing it with me once now. Some call it heaven, I call it home. Some call it dreaming, let me dream on. Some call it paradise, somewhere beyond the sky. Some call it heaven, I call it home. Some call it heaven, but I call it home. Thank you. God bless you. Love you with the love of the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's stand tonight if you will. Time to go on into the service. I know you're looking forward to the preaching of the word of the Lord. Let's sing another old chorus tonight of the church, a song of the church. Oh, I want to see him. I've seen about everything in this world I care to see. I'd like to see him, wouldn't you? Oh, I want to see him. Look up on his face. There to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all pass, home at last, never to rejoice. Yes, oh, I want to see him, look upon his face. There to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all pass, home at last, ever to rejoice. Yes, oh, I want to see him, look upon his face. There to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all pass, home at last, ever to rejoice. Yes, oh, I want to see him, look upon his face. There to sing forever on the streets of glory. Cares all past.
Praise the Lord. What a privilege to be able to be called together. Think of the statement that Brother Benham made. When you see the Word manifested, you see the Father God. That's something to think about, ain't it? When you see the Word manifested, you see the Father God. Since Father God is light, it makes a lot more sense. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. How many is just so happy to be in the house of God? Wonderful, isn't it? To be called of God, to be Christians, to be gathered together in His Word. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. And I want you to listen carefully to these verses, because to me they're some of the most powerful in the Bible, in the New Testament. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. How can that be? How could anybody be bold in the day of judgment? If you're expecting to be judged, of course, you won't be bold. You'll be scared. But if you're in this kind of love, you ain't got nothing to worry about. The truth of it is tonight, friends, you may not believe it right now, but you have nothing to fear from your past, nothing to fear in your present, and nothing to fear in your future. Most of us don't believe that. You shout it and you raise your hand. Some of you smile. Some of you just stand up because you're not sure which way I'm going to go with it. But if we really believe that, that is the truth. If you're a Christian tonight, you have nothing to fear from your past. It's totally eradicated. It's annihilated in the presence of God. And what can happen to you in your present? And certainly what can happen to you in your future. Now watch this. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Amen. Now listen to this next verse, and from here we'd like to draw our thought for tonight. There is no fear in love. Amen. But perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Now, John doesn't say that he doesn't love, but he's not made perfect in love. He doesn't say that a person that has fear doesn't have any love of God. But what he says is the person who fears or allows fear to control them is not made perfect to Leos, mature, grown up love. Watch this again. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. Now remember, perfect love don't cast out all fear. The Bible doesn't say that. It casts out the fear that has torment. The Bible doesn't say perfect love casteth out all fear. Read it. But it casts out the fear that has torment, which is not from God. We should always have a reverential fear for God. It's the beginning of wisdom. But notice, perfect love casteth out fear because fear hath torment or punishment. It's the very beginning of punishment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Let's bow our heads together. How many would like to be remembered tonight in prayer? Lord Jesus, we thank you tonight for the reading of your word. We don't believe that it was coming from the man who was anointed to write it down. We don't believe he was the author of these words, John. He understood a lot about love. You had done a lot for John, because prior to him getting the Holy Ghost, he was one of the ones that wanted to call fire down out of heaven and burn up a bunch of people. But after John got the Holy Ghost, he was a disciple of love. Lord, I pray that you'd help us tonight. Lord, may we be benefited by our gathering to this place. Take your word, break it to us. You saw the needs of your people represented by their hands that went up. In the name of Jesus, may you minister to us tonight, Father. Grant it, I pray, Lord. Amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. Let's use these four words tonight. No fear in love. No fear in love. That's quite a statement. Is it a true statement? You believe it? Do you understand it? Probably not. Is it fully manifested in most of our lives? Probably not. But it's going to be. That's one thing I love about the Lord, that He puts the standard before us and then He puts it to an attainable level where we're able to reach it. Wouldn't do any good if He didn't. Now, when we think about fear, we know that actually fear, there is fear that is godly, holy, righteous fear. But the kind of fear that John is addressing here is the fear that, as he said, has torment, which is punishment. So there is the fear that comes from God, the fear that God demands, even the reverential fear which children should have for parents, and that we should have for even gifted men of God and offices and positions that are there. But there's such a delicate spot or a line by which a person can cross over from a reverential fear into a fear that has torment. Now, the reason when you look at it, you say, why is this such an important thing? Because fear and faith can never be running side by side and allow the believer to be in their full inheritance. You can never have perfect love and be totally controlled by a dominating type of fear. So God wants us as His children to be as children, to where that we trust Him and we believe Him, and that our trust actually brings such a confidence in Him that it eliminates this type of fear, which is a slavish fear. It is a fear which keeps us in the constant reminder of what we were, of what could be before us, and possibly what our future may hold. And this is why that a person with this type of fear, they can never totally be at rest. Because they're hoping that their past is forgiven. They're hoping horrible, terrible things will not happen to them in the present and in the future. And they're hoping that they will be saved. And hoping that they will not go to hell. Hoping that they will not be lost. And they'll never be able to have rest and peace as long as that type of fear is motivating their lives. Now, what's this in verse 17? And John here, he says, herein is our love made perfect. Now, let's look at this Greek word, teleo, which is finish, fulfill, to make perfect, complete, to carry through completely. Now, this is not sinlessness. That has nothing to do now with sinlessness in an individual. A person can have perfect love, and the individual that has it is not perfect. This is not talking about when you and I reach sinlessness, that when we reach sinlessness, we will have perfect faith and perfect love and perfect gifts and perfect this. This is a total different thing from you and I reaching that spot. We will never reach that spot until our bodies are changed. Now, from the soul, if you're in Christ, of course, you're sinless tonight. But in the human part, it will never be till the bodies are changed. Question answer 64, we cannot meet the promised Son in these bodies are sin. These bodies are sin. The only way to get you to the spot to where you're totally out of sinlessness in this humanity is the body change. Until that time, you're going to make mistakes, and you might as well just say amen, Brother Donnie. That's the truth, because you will. But now watch. So whenever he talks about perfect love, then he's not talking about perfect love being issued or coming forth from a perfect, sinless individual. But it is a matured individual. And it is from the love source of an individual who has grown in God, who has matured in God, and their love is mature. Now, you can have perfect love, mature love, and still not have mature faith. Now, listen, because these are virtues that come from the great stream of the deity of God.
So a person might have perfect love in that their love is matured and they trust and they know and they believe, but yet on their face part, their face may not actually be to that mature level. Now, because love and faith and temperance and virtue and knowledge and all these things are in degrees, many people look at themselves and they listen to Statue of a Perfect Man, Blasphemous Names, and some of those tapes talking about the virtues, and they look at themselves and say, well, I don't have none of it. I've got a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And they totally place themselves where they're not even born again. Because they'll look at themselves and they think in order to really be a Christian, they ought to be full. And they're measuring themselves like they do their gas tank on their car. And they're saying, if I'm a Christian, if I got the Holy Ghost, I'll be full on every one of these things. But they've never told us that. We grow in these things, and you can actually attain one before you do the other. So it doesn't mean you got to have all the virtues and all the faith and all this at one time, or you're not even grown up. Where do we get this idea? It's not in the Bible, first of all, and it's not in the Message. Praise the Lord. So God will have His people to grow. Now in that, some folks, it seems as if though they have the ability to where they can reach the state of perfect love easier and quicker than others. And then there will be some, they can come to that spot of substance faith easier than others, yet they will have more of a problem with perfect love. Then some, maybe they can come to a spot of virtue and of knowledge and of temperance, and they will be able to allow that to flow through them so freely, and yet they'll struggle with some of these other things in God. But you realize every one of us, no matter what our makeup is, there's flaws in every one of our makeups. So there's things that we can submit. And the whole thing is being born again and then learning how to submit to the Spirit of God. But even though you've been born again, you're still a human being, and the process of the Word coming through the first conscious, the subconscious, your intellect, and the more we surrender, the more God can live and breathe and move through us. But the things that we hold on to because of our temperament, scars in our life, all of that, those will be the things that we may struggle with, finally God reaching that completion in us. You understand what I'm saying? But it doesn't mean that you're not a Christian. It doesn't mean you don't have the Holy Ghost. It just means the temperance, that temperance or that degree or that measure of what you're desiring to see is not in your life yet. Yet. But it will be by God's grace. Now what's in, herein is our love made. Notice the words now that John uses. Herein is our love made perfect. Our love made perfect. Now how can love be made? How can love be made perfect? How can love itself, which is the very, comes from God Himself, how can it ever be made perfect? So you mean there is a love that is imperfect? It's not talking about sinlessness. Now remember, it is talking about the degree or the temperance of love. The temperament or the avenue by which you as an individual have it flowing out of your life. So here John says, herein is our love made mature or made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. So herein is our love grown up, or to be made perfect, or complete, or carried through to the end. So our love then, love itself from God, being the eternal source, is perfect in itself. And when we receive that love, even when we first start, we receive that love of God, but what we receive is such a small degree, or such a small portion of as it was, but the love we're receiving, if it is from God, that love within itself is totally, completely perfect because of the source it comes from. But it's not perfect in us in the sense of it being mature and grown up, and then you learn how to trust God initially, and you believe God can love you, and you was a sinner, and you drank, and you smoked, and whatever more, but you believe God could forgive you and God would accept you. What was He doing? He had to love you first in order to present this to you so you could respond back to Him with love. We wasn't even lovable. We were lost without Him, so He had to love us first, and then that love is what broke down all of the barriers and things that we had, and He made us lovable, then we in turn can love back. Now then, what does He want us to do? He wants us to love in the same way that He does, with that grown-up, mature love. Now, He loved us before we ever even knew Him. Hold on. He loves us in the same way that He loves Jesus. The Lord God does not look at Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and love Him with one degree of love, and look at me, if I'm a son, and love me with a lesser degree. Now, I know we can't hardly comprehend it, but I'm going to preach it till either I'm blue in the face or y'all going to believe it, one or the other. Hopefully y'all believe it before I turn blue in the face. Now, you think that in our minds we think there is no way that He can do that, but He does. You see, we are looking at the essence of love and how we know it in time, and we're measuring it in the way that we think. So we're saying, my mistakes, my humanity, my... Oh, no. You're looking at the wrong thing. He loves you before your humanity. He knows your humanity is only in this short space of time, but He loved you with an eternal love way back yonder before you was ever even a mortal. You're looking at your humanity as being the biggest thing of your life. That's not the biggest thing of your life. The biggest thing of your life is that attribute of God which was in Him before the world began. Oh, glory. Thank you, Lord. Now, perfect love is something that is not natural to us. It's not a natural given. Now, love is a human love, but even in that, there are degrees of human love. There are degrees, of course, in marriage, degrees in friendship, and degrees in families, but the perfect love, it's beyond us. It is absolutely beyond us, because it's not something that you and I can attain to by our natural birth. There's never been a man after the fall of Adam and Eve that ever had it, other than the Lord Jesus. So it's totally beyond our human comprehension to be able to think that we could ever have it. Now, Adam and Eve did have perfect love in the beginning. They lived in that realm of trust. Notice this, Brother Bram says in Satan's Eden, they were wholly veiled. They were safe in God's pavilion. They were alive. There was no death around them. Hallelujah. They had perfect love. One for the other, perfect life forever. They had perfect love, perfect understanding of the love of God. Now notice perfect love then that they had. It wasn't just a perfect love for God. It was a perfect love for one another. Now folks who have perfect love and hate, I'm afraid they've got the wrong understanding of what perfect love is. Come on now church. We cannot have perfect love and hate somebody because they differ with our doctrine. That's right. So Adam and Eve had perfect love and they had a perfect understanding of the love of God. But notice what happened then in Genesis chapter 3 verse 9. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden and I was afraid. So now here the element of perfect love was there and existed in Adam and Eve until they fell away from the Word. Once they fell away from the Word, then what come in to take its place? Now they had a lesser degree of love. He still loved God. He still loved his wife. But the degree of love had now changed because he had forfeited perfect love for fear. So now what happened to the man? Now the man said, I heard thy voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself. So then God said, who told thee that thou wast naked? So where did this come from? It come from within himself. Now that he had fallen, the holy veil was removed. Now his senses were quickened to an emotion of fear. He'd never had it before. And he could not have this fear as, oh, I hope you're going to preach for me tonight. He could not have this fear, this emotion, as long as he had perfect love. But once perfect love was lifted because of disobedience to the Word, then it allowed this man to be able to fear, and his wife to fear. But they could not fear this way and have perfect love and perfect trust. Hold on to your seat. Neither can you and I. We cannot have perfect love and be able to let fear control our lives. So you make your choice tonight. Which do you want? Fear or perfect love? It's up to you. Oh, you say, it's up to God. No, it's not up to God. God's told us in His Word what He wants all His children to have. He wants all of them to have perfect love. He wants us to subdue faith that has fear and live and walk in a realm of perfect love. Now that is mature love, growing up love. So notice then, once Adam had forfeited his rights to the tree of life, then this perfect love had now left from him, and Adam began to feel this emotion. Well, psychologists say there's only real two emotions anyway, and that is love and fear. Out of there comes every other basic emotion as humanity that we experience. But from there, then Adam lived in this extreme world of perfect faith. In a moment of time, perfect faith in a perfect God, in a perfect relationship that he had with God, and that in turn he was tied into the source of perfect love. Now once then he broke the word and he stepped across that boundary of where God said, thou shalt not eat thereof, then he experiences this other emotion, which is exact opposite, which is fear. So he hears the voice of the Lord God. He had never been afraid before. He had never been scared before. Why? Because his perfect faith and perfect love kept fear away. Was the potential for him to fear there? It was. It wasn't that Satan created something in Adam that was never there. The potential to fear was there. And but what kept it away? Perfect faith, perfect love, trust, obedience to the word. And once that was lifted, then the man was afraid. Same with you and I. What if we are on our way to restoration and the Spirit of God is wanting to restore our walk with Him to where it was before Adam ever fell? Cannot, while we are yet in time, in the realm of mortality, cannot God so fill our hearts with a perfect love and a perfect faith that we walk without fear in this present world? Oh, you say, Brother Donnie, you're asking a lot of us. No, I'm not asking anything of you. Don't blame me for this. Blame God. Only through the foolishness of preaching am I not going to convey to you what he wants. Now watch this. 1 John then, let's go back. 1 John 4:17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Now if you notice, John doesn't say as he was when he was a mortal, when he was going through sickness and trials and temptations, because we could already relate to that. But John moves beyond the humanity and John says, so as he is, this is what's going to give us boldness. This will embolden the elect of God, because as he is, so are we in this present world. So the very same character, the very same nature, the very same essence of the Godhead, as he is now, so are we. Now I realize it takes revelation to make it real to our hearts. Now watch, he said here, because as he is, so are we in this world. So the Father deals with us in the same terms as he deals with his only begotten Son. Or you say, Jesus is perfect. And if you're in Jesus, you are too. But you see, you don't look at the right person. You're looking at your failures this week, your mistakes this week, your fears, your shortcomings, all of that sort of thing. That's not in Christ. That part of you has never been submerged into Christ. If your soul tonight is sealed by the presence of God, it can never get sick, it can never get down, it can never get weary. And that's the part that God looks at on the exact same basis as he does Jesus Christ. A Christian is Christ's living likeness. Praise the Lord. Oh, glory. Oh, Brother Donnie, in the millennium. The millennium, nothing. I want to be it right now. It ain't going to be no great victory that I'm going to be like him in the millennium. I'm going to have a body like his. I want to be that way right now. As much as I can be while I'm still held captive in this type of a body. Now, John is not exhorting and saying, all right, now, church, all right, everybody needs to be there. John, this is not an exhortation to bring the people to this place. John is using affirmations. John isn't saying it can be or it might be. John is saying it is. Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. He is saying that those that are really in Christ, as He is, so are we. He's not saying, well, we might be. Well, let's pray about it. Let's go on a 13-day fast and see what we can come up with. Let's search the Bible and see. John says, if we're in Him, as He is, so are we. Praise God. Now watch, how is it that John, the man to whom he refers to himself in his epistle, the disciple whom Jesus loved. Now, you'd think that would be somewhat a selfish claim. No doubt he must have felt the liberality of the Spirit of God to identify himself in that way. Now, we would think that any man that would kind of lift himself above other brothers and say that Jesus kind of loved me a little more than He did you, we would think that was all stuffed shirt and all selfishness. But apparently there was something about it that John recognized it. Others around him recognized it. Even at the table when they were there, he leaned over on Jesus' bosom and he asked him who it was. And Jesus didn't tell Peter. He didn't tell the others, but he told John the mystery of the deceiver. Right. I went over on his breast, don't you? Now, John then refers to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. Now, there must have been something about John. Each one of these men were no doubt known for many different characteristics. Peter, of course, was bold. And I mean, they had a great bold faith for standing up for God, known for sticking his foot in his mouth like many of us are. But yet, John's characteristic was that after that he had met Jesus, that there was something about the love realm that John broke into. Then it's no really no mystery to us that he would be the one that God would allow in the New Testament to write this perspective about the love of God that Peter never touched. Now, the other writers, even though they wrote some wonderful, beautiful things, and Paul, being the prophet of the age, was allowed in 1 Corinthians 13 to tie into the very element of God's love, but yet John was able to catch it in such a way that none of the rest of them quite phrased it the way that John did. You know, it's like some preachers that are so gifted to preach about the phone. Some are gifted to preach about this and preach about the other. And it seems that's, you know, their ministry, the way God uses them. But with John, we know that Brother Ben said when John got old, and he got too old to preach, he would just sit around and just cry and say, little children, love one another. I don't imagine that that was just words to John, but there must have been something that so emanated out of John's life that even though he got so old that the anointing would just wear him out and he couldn't hardly preach no more, but when he'd say that, but there must have been something that so, it was just like a well that come out of this man and it would draw people by spiritual magnetism to where they wanted to love the way he said love. So in verse 18, John says, there is no fear in love. So the man or woman, boy or girl, who really loves God from their soul, can never really fear God and have the tormenting, slavish fear that Satan wants to put on us. Many folks around the message have what I call the beaten wife syndrome. Every time they go to church, they've got to be beaten in the head, kicked, stomped, their tongue cut out, hung up by their toenails, or they feel like they ain't been to church. For the preacher to brag on them and tell them what they are in Christ, especially two or three services in a row, they just can't handle it. They've got to be beat, stomped, kicked. Or they don't feel like they're getting some. Why? Because that's their mentality. That's the attitude in which they are serving God. They can't stand it for God to put His arms around them and just pull them up close and tell them how much He loves them. It's like they cannot relate. They can relate more to fear and more to hate and more to all their faults. And you better straighten up. I'll tell you one thing. We get enough of that here, the Lord knows. But I enjoy it when Jesus comes down and tells me how good I am. I enjoy it when He tells me that He loved me before the foundation of the world. Anybody else here enjoy it? I don't mind telling you. I like feeling like I'm His pet. Some of y'all want to be dogs? Go ahead. Bow wow. I don't want to be a dog. I want to be the apple of his eye. I want to be his pet. Oh, you think you want to be special, huh? I do. I am special. I have value in God's eyes. He loves me. Amen. Hallelujah. He is not complete without me. So if a man, woman, boy, or girl had perfect love, how could they have slavish fear? The angels in heaven who kept their estate, do you think they stand before God scared every day of their life? Could they ever approach him with boldness if they were terrified? Now, how can they do that? Because they know when the great war was drawn out aeons of ages ago, they know whose side they were on. Glory. So that remains within them a confidence. Glory to God. That they know whose side they stood with. When Lucifer started preaching up in heaven and started a war, they know whose side they were on. So the angels don't have to come crawling up before the throne of God and beg for mercy. Neither do them angels have to worry about their destiny. They don't have to worry about their future. Do you think there's any saints in the sixth dimension tonight that are worried about going to hell? Think there's any of them worried about being lost? Think there's any of the saints that we have known, that we buried their bodies? You think there's any of them over standing over chewing their fingernails? Oh God, I hope I don't ever be lost. Oh God, don't ever throw me away. What if the love of God, the power of God, and the presence of God could convince angels and they with boldness can walk before the throne of God and not fear they're going to be lost. And they don't even have the Holy Ghost. And the people in the sixth dimension, is it because they move to another dimension that gives them confidence? So is it the dimension you live in that gives you confidence? Should not it be the trust in your Father's Word that would give you the confidence? Not dimensional travel, that you can move into another dimension and once you change locations, that gives you confidence. Then how can I ever have a rapture? Glory. Do you believe they're in perfect love in that sixth dimension? Brother Bram used the word sublime. He says beyond sublime, it's beyond perfection, it's beyond perfect, it's beyond all these things. I don't have any other words, he said, to know how to describe it in the English language. And then he says, but it'll take perfect love to get there. So you've got to have that source here in order to cross there. So it's not crossing the dimensional boundary then that gives you that state of perfect love and trust. Oh. Those who were in that sixth dimension that the prophet's on. Now remember, he didn't see Paul's people, Luther's people, Irenaeus' people. He mentions nothing about seeing them. He mentions nothing about seeing, those that have lived down through the ages. Apparently the sixth dimension is divided in divisions according to the ages. An elect or non-elect or elect and foolish virgin. But can you imagine them people having the confidence? One day Jesus will come to you. And you'll be judged. And if you're accepted for your ministry. And you will be. Then we will go in on your teaching. Glory. That's tore up about it, wasn't it? That's nervous about the women told they can't do this and can't do that and the men they can't do this and they can't do that. Maybe some of these website folks should go on the other side of the sixth dimension and get some of the witnesses of them saints over yonder and see if they think Brother Branham was a false prophet. The devil's got better sense than that, so that means some of these folks is leaving dumber than the devil. If they could get the devil to have a testimony on their website, he'd tell them, you bunch of idiots. What the world's the matter with you all? I stood in front of that man. My demon stood in front of that man. It scared the liver out of us. Glory. Now watch, when John says, there is no fear in love, but perfect. Now look at this. It's a little different Greek word than what he uses before. It's teleos instead of teleos. Teleos. Man of full age, brought to its end, finished, wanting nothing necessary to completeness. Full grown, adult, a full age, mature. But mature love casteth out fear. Baby Christian love cannot. Neither can teenage Christian love. I'm not talking about a teenager now. You understand what I'm saying? I'm talking about teenage love for Christ. But adult love. Amen. Adult love. Praise the Lord Jesus. That's the love that casteth out fear. So it comes with what? Not just reading. Not with just going to church. Not with just looking holiness on the outside. It comes with growing and maturing and trusting. Trusting that when He allows things to come to pass, many of the darkest times of your life, you may not fully understand it till you get to the other side and He pulls back the valleys that you were in and He lets you see out of that darkest time, you was growing up in love. You was going up, you was gaining trust. When you had a sickness or a disease in your body and your personal preference was divine healing, you go up and have the preacher to pray for you, lay hands on you, anoint you with oil, whatever. You claim the promise of God, and you want God to heal you. But instead, God allowed you to go through surgery. Took you 6 months to recover. You had all kinds of difficulties and aches and pains and this and that and the other. And you say, Lord, I don't understand, but I trust you. I trust you, Lord. Now for a baby Christian, God has to kind of, you know, bathe him and put him up on his shoulder and kind of, you know, and they take the milk and then he has to burp him and he's got to do all this thing, change their diapers and, you know, all this bird eye and all this sort of thing. And they get the colic and they stay up half the night and they crying and they get their days and nights mixed up. I don't know if it's Laodicea or bright age. I don't know what time it is or nothing. And then they come up to the toddler age. Oh my, we need to take this as serious, don't we? They take it as a toddler age and they're growing and they're learning a little more, but they're still following it. Don't know what's going on. Then they become a teenager. Of course, in the teenage, they know everything. So unless we know folks around the message that caught that attitude, they ain't an adult yet. They're a teenager. They may be 80 years old, but they're still a spiritual teenager because they got that teenage attitude. They know it all. But then when they reach that spot, for some it might be they're a Christian 10 years, for some 5, some 15, some 40. But when they finally reach that spot to where their faith and their love and their trust and their confidence, all the elements which is making them who they are and what they are, and it grows and reaches that place of maturity, then they look around and they realize, I'm not afraid anymore. I'm not afraid I'm going to be lost. I'm not afraid I'm going to miss the rapture. I'm one of the reasons there is a rapture. I am not for the event. The event is for me. I'm the reason there's one needed. Well, glory. Brother Donnie, you don't fear going to hell. No, sir. Haven't for years. I used to did. Oh yeah, I was under that thing in Pentecost many years ago. And this is one thing, friends, let me say this while I'm here. But I always watch doctrines, churches, preachers, beliefs. And when people go to projecting a doctrine, sometimes it's so close to the truth that you can't pick it up initially if it's right or wrong. But what I like to watch is the underlying spirit that's carrying it. Because there is a spirit of truth and a spirit of error. Now, if that doctrine is carried on fear, you better listen to us. You better listen to this preacher. He's the only one that's got it. I know right there it's wrong. Because that doctrine is being delivered on the spirit of fear. Don't you never do that to me. Don't you never do that to this church. Don't you never try to witness and say, oh, you better move to Happy Valley. You better, you want to be, do you understand what you're doing? You're under the spirit of fear, trying to tell people they better do this. That's not the way we liberate people. And what if they do move under that foundation of the spirit of fear and they come here and they'll never fit exactly right till they get delivered of that old thing? Well, glory. I don't know who that was for, but it must have been for somebody. Now watch, there is no fear in love, but perfect love. Isn't it amazing that John didn't say perfect doctrine? Or deep doctrine, or shallow doctrine, or he mentions nothing about doctrine. You mean to tell me perfect love is the only source that casts out fear? Can you see why Satan wants the message, folks? So many of them. Everything the message is to them is a bunch of doctrines. That's all it is. It's one doctrine after another. What do you believe about this? What do you believe about that? What do you believe about that? What do you believe about that? This is what I believe. I believe perfect love casts out fear. Which means if you're going to hold your fear over me, you ain't going to scare me none. Oh, Brother Donnie, you better. I better get away from you is what I better do. Praise the Lord. Woo, my. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear because fear has torment. Now let me say this. If you fear God with this type of fear, Satan has deceived your emotions. This type of fear is painful. It is distressing. It brings depression. Do you realize how many Christians there are that serve God? I'm not talking about, you know, this mess out here in Laodicea that they can do whatever they want to do and stand before God. That's a bunch of tommy rot in the first place. Christ does not liberate us to sin. He liberates us from sin. And we do not serve Him because we're scared we'll go to hell. We love Him and know we ain't going. But we love Him so much, we don't want to do one thing that would displease Him. Not because I'm afraid I'll go to hell. I don't want to break His heart. So can you imagine a Christian, a real Christian, and they love God. They love church. They love the message. But they love with this teenage degree of love. Maybe it's a ministry they sent under. They come from one preacher to another, whatever it was. Sent under this fear of their whole life. And it's like they can never really believe that God loves them. That's why if they miss a day praying or they miss a day reading their Bible, they're so condemned. They've got to do this and they've got to do that. God wants you to do those things, not because it's your salvation, but because of fellowship. Fellowship. Look, friend, if I resign tonight and I never preach another sermon as long as I live, that has nothing to do with my salvation. That has to do with my obedience, not my salvation. I'm not saved because I preach. I'm not saved because I read my Bible. I'm not saved because I listen to tapes. I do that because I love Him. Lord, help us. So people can live under this fear that torments them.
They're so tormented. They're afraid of this and afraid of that. Preachers. Preachers will manipulate them.
Yes, sir.
You better do this and you better do that and you better do something else.
Now watch, John. Careful what you're going to say here, buddy. Because fear hath torment. And he that feareth is not grown up in love yet. Now John don't say he don't have love. But notice the words that John uses. He is not made perfect in love. So does, you say, Brother Donnie, does the Christian fear? I guarantee you we do. You pull out a rattlesnake on me and, oh, you ever seen a spook move fast? That's about how fast I'll move. Don't tell me we ain't going to be scared. You come up behind me and I don't know you're there and you with you. Perfect love does not eliminate that type of fear because that's not the fear he's dealing with. It is a slavish fear. Praise the Lord, saints. Will there always be things there? If you're flying at 37,000 feet and you're going to know the Pacific Ocean and that 747 starts nosediving and flipping back and forth and this and that and the other, is it going to bother you? Unless you took a sleeping pill, probably it will. That don't mean you're not a saved person. That don't mean you're not a Christian. Oh, you say, I've got perfect love. Get out of here flying. You wasn't made to fly on an airplane like that. It's not natural. That's what Brother Alan Butcher told me. He flew for the Air Force and for Delta, so I guess he ought to know. So will perfect love remove all of that? It will not. But it will remove the fear that has torment. The fear of getting cancer. The fear of getting hit by stroke. The fear of all kinds of things that torment your life. God wants us to be so grown up in love that when Satan says, you might die of cancer, you might have a heart attack, you might have a convulsion, you might do this. Brother Bam said, don't argue with him. Just ignore him. There's no need in dragging out your medical charts and saying, look here, devil, they did my EKG over here and my heart rate was this, that, and my blood pressure was that. He ain't interested in your medical charts. I mean, if that's what you're looking at, he'll flutter your heart and your blood pressure will shoot over the top of the roof by this evening. Well, he said, don't argue with him. Just tell him, get away from me. I don't want to hear you. He said, because if you argue, he'll argue all day long. I've wasted a lot of days arguing with the devil. And got him saved to this day. Notice this in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit. So there is an emotion of fear which comes natural to all human beings. But there is also a spirit of fear. Now can you imagine once our emotion of fear becomes anointed with the spirit of fear? We become a basket case. But let's turn it right around. What if perfect love, the anointing from above, could anoint my perfect love? Lord, have mercy. What if that channel of perfect faith could anoint my perfect faith? Now, if the spirit of fear can anoint my human fears and make me fear things, oh my, to just be, you know, cataclysmic nearly. And if it can do that and affect me in such a way, what about perfect love, that realm of the anointing, anointing my perfect love? And what about his faith anointing my perfect faith? Well, I'll tell you what will happen. My body won't be able to take it. Amen. My body won't be able to take it. Oh, Lord. Watch this. He says, there is no fear in love. Back to 1 John. Wait a minute. Let me read this here in 2 Timothy. I'm sorry, brothers. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. And the word sound means disciplined. Controlled. So I discipline not only my eyes not to look where they shouldn't look. Not only my tongue not to say what it shouldn't say. But I can discipline my mind to where when thoughts are put in it
I refuse to allow them to take root. Why is it that Peter told the saints to gird up the loins of their mind? Isn't that a peculiar statement? Loins of your mind? Loins? That's from where the procreative power of man comes from. Loins. So the loins of your mind, the procreative ability within you is in your mind now. Look, in the first Exodus, they were told to gird up their loins. Glory! They were told to eat the lamb and gird up their loins and get out of Egypt. And we're told to gird up ours. You know what it was then, don't you? They wore a long flowing robe and they had a belt or something tied around it, a rope. And they could not run with that robe, so they would reach down and get that robe and tuck it up under their belt or under their rope. That way they could take off running. That was girding up their loins. Well, now God tells us to gird up our loins. What is it, Brother Donnie? It ain't your soul. It's already sealed. You don't need to gird something that's sealed, but you need to gird something that ain't sealed, which is your mind. Which has the ability to torment you or be able to create the power of God by positive thoughts through the Word. Lord Jesus. Notice again, John says in verse 18, for there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. I love the way he uses the word that he uses here, the Greek. For he said, perfect love casteth out fear. And is he that habitually feareth. He that habitually feareth. So it is a habit that he's constantly fearing. You see, this is an individual that's under control of fear. Look, friends, let's be honest. The times are bad. Economy's bad. Taxes is going up. Y'all making less money. Food's going up. Gas has done gone through the roof. Who knows what the future holds for us? All kinds of scandals going on in the government. That's just the ones I know about. It don't look good in China. It don't look good in Japan. Stocks is falling over there. All kinds of things going on everywhere. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Oh my, we can look around in Uganda, and we can look in Ethiopia, and we look at here and there and there, and we can look around the message. All kinds of folks have been shook loose, and this is going on, and that's going on. Or, whenever you see these things come to pass, then lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. It just depends on what you're going to look around. Isn't it amazing that Jesus told us horrible things that would happen, but then he turned around and said, when you see these things, then lift up your heads. In other words, when you see them, don't focus on them. When you see them, don't spend all your time thinking about it. But when you see it in the newspaper and you read it on the internet, then lift up your heads, for your redemption is drawing nigh. Brother Donnie, don't you fear earthquakes? Well, I can't say that I wouldn't fear one if I was ever in one. Don't you fear tornadoes? I guarantee you if I was ever in an F5, hair would be standing up on the back of my neck if I had any hair left. Brother Donnie, what about the mark of the beast? Mark of the beast? I ain't going to be here when that thing comes. It's already here. But when it ushers in the last day, I'm going to be here. Well, Brother Donnie, what about a fallout shelter? I got one. Is it titanium? Eagle feathers. Glory! But Brother Donnie, Russia's doing this, and then the Japanese are doing that, and they're doing this, and my Lord God is building a body. My Lord God is sending His Word. Hallelujah! And He's trying to drive away fear. Why? He don't want His bride to be a bunch of slaves standing over in the corner. You imagine when the rapture takes place, and the bride's standing over in the corner scared to death. You realize when Jerusalem was ransacked, when Titus come in 70 AD, they slaughtered pigs and drug them across the altar. Children were eaten by parents. They took horse dung and donkey dung. That's what they ate. Bark off the trees. They eat the leaves so they were gone. Then they stripped the bark off the trees and eat them. Then they started eating one another.
but there wasn't one saint of God. Not one saint of God found in Jerusalem. Why? They took the warning of Jesus and they heeded to the men of God who were telling them to get out of here, get out of here, get out of here. Am I saying we're going to escape all difficulty? Of course I'm not saying that, but I'm saying this. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to that rock that is higher than I. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. You can't can up enough food to keep you. If you do can it, they'll knock in the head and steal it away from you. But don't worry, my Lord God still knows how to supply meal and oil. He knows if he can turn water into wine, he can turn water into gas. Hallelujah. If he knows how to do the supernatural, he can still do it tonight. Praise the Lord. But instead, some preachers is putting the people under more fear. It would probably scare you tonight if you knew how many people carry guns to message churches. Preachers. Brother Donnie, where's your magnum? My magnum's in me. He's faster than a speeding bullet. He's the original Superman. Woo! Glory to God, he didn't step into a telephone booth, but he stepped into a body of a crying baby. Hallelujah! And he come back down on the day of Pentecost and got in the side of the other human bodies. Fear. Fear. Think, friends. Man, these moves has been around the message. Notice, no matter how much anointing comes with them, signs, wonders, miracles, whatever, if it's not right totally from the core, the spirit of fear will always stick its head up. Now, it may be delivered initially on emotion or delivered initially on 4 or 5 pages of quotes, but what's packing is the spirit of fear. Bless God, you better not question this. You better. This makes me even more glad I come through Pentecost. I had more than my dose of fear working with the preachers I worked with. So I'm real glad when they call my name on YouTube, write all kinds of articles about me. I laugh at it and think, poor dummies. I love it when the Lord God takes his word and backs the devil up so tight in the corner that they have to attack the vessel who brings it because they can't attack what's been said. Don't you see what's going on with the message? They can't attack what's been said so much, so they attack what? The human part. The man part. Come on, children. They want to attack me and you and say this, and you know why? Because the Lord slams that devil up and he makes him go stand in the corner with his nose in the corner and say, devil, don't you move or I'll wear you out. So the devil then anoints people. Oh, look at them. Look at that one. Look at that one. Look at that one. Come on, children. God don't want us moving under the spirit of fear. Oh, Brother Donnie, I'm scared what they're going to do. Scared of what they're going to do? What can they do? If the Lord is on my side, hallelujah, who can be against me? I don't dread my past. I don't fear my present. I don't fear my future because my life is in the hands who created the universe. What is it that Satan could ever do to me that's greater than my God? For I am persuaded that neither death, nor height, nor depth, nor principality could ever separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus.
Brother Donnie, what if they arrest you and put you in the prison?
Well, I guess I'll just have to see if maybe God knows, still knows how to shake down a federal penitentiary. It'd be a pretty bad deal to get a multi-million-dollar facility tore down because you throw a Holy Ghost-filled preacher in there. But if God wanted me to come out of there, we'd do it, wouldn't we, brothers?
Don't you see what so much of this is? Live under fear. Fear of this and fear of that and fear of something else.
You know why so many folks on the message are scared? Because their faith has never been tried to that level. Many of you have never lived probably by faith, where you didn't know where the next meal was coming from. Preaching many, many years ago, many of you see me at the state of my life where God's blessed us and all that. Oh, you should have been with me years ago, when you didn't know where your next meal was coming from. Didn't know how your bills was even going to be paid. But one thing I'd done when I started out preaching years ago, I refused to beg for money. I would never ask a preacher for an offering. I would never ask him for anything. I said, if I have to do that, I'll quit. They didn't know the message then. But I've seen the Lord God come on the scene so many times. Oh my, many, many years ago, me and Carol first started, we eat cheese and crackers. For days and days and days, and Carol's mama gave us a chicken. A live one. So I had to go out and try to catch that thing. Now I was raised in the country, but I wasn't raised with chickens. So you ought to see me out there running that thing around the yard. Quack, quack, quack. I was going behind it. Quack, quack, quack. Oh my, did you get it? Yes, I caught it and ate it. But many of you, you've worked and you've done this and you've done that and you depended on your own ability and depended on this. This is why you get scared, because you see your own ability won't provide for you no more, and your own intelligence and your own intellect. Come on, children. Thank God for our intelligence, our ability. But remember, when ours is all gone, His is still there. Oh, if the economy collapses all around us, my God is able to meet our needs. Love and fear coexist only when love is of such a small degree that it will allow fear to reside in the same heart. Immature love can be next door neighbor to a taunting phobia, because this immature love can't cast it out. It don't want it there. It hates it. It hates what it causes it to do. But it's like it can't do it. So they both can reside in the same human being. That's how people flip back and forth in a service. Thinking you're such positive things preaching. Oh my, praise God. Hallelujah, that's me, that's me. And then the preacher mentions something about Pharaoh, and then they flip back to the other side. He mentioned Judas, and that just happens to be they've got a J in one of their 13 names. And there you go. So then they flip-flop back and forth, and they're scared. And they're Look, you ought to know your own heart to know you're not a Judas. Do you want to betray him? Do you want to sell him out? Do you want to get rid of him? Then quit letting the devil compare you to that. Are you a Pharaoh? If you harden your heart against God's word, then refuse to listen to that lie of the devil. But infant, immature, even a teenage love, even a teenage love that comes into its early 20s spiritually, it's growing. It's growing, but it still can't trust enough. It'll give God so much, but it can never just really, I trust you with everything. My daughter, my son, my husband, my wife, my house, my car, my soul, my life, my church. It still wants to help God. It's a teenager. Still knows everything. I can't figure out how in the world I knew everything when I was a teenager and how I forgot it all now. Some of y'all laughing at me, you knew everything I knew and more probably.
All I had the nuns ask and said, I know a whole lot more than you do. But what happens is you get older, the more you know, the more you realize you didn't know, and you realize what a fool you were when you were a teenager. Well, glory. I didn't think these teenagers would say amen, but I thought some of you old timers would anyway. Oh, notice this. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear has torment. And he that feareth is not made perfect in love. Let me find a place to close. So what's the degree now? Brother Rand brought us a simple example that perfect love is like a great vast ocean. But as it comes down into human love, it trickles down from this vast, vast ocean. And those of you that are full across the Atlantic or the Pacific, you realize how many hours you can go at 600 miles an hour, whatever it is, in a jet. And it takes you hours and hours and hours and hours across that body of water. But you imagine that being a parameter of God's love, if we'd compare it in size. And then as it comes down to human love, it would trickle down into, say, Watauga River. And then it keep coming down to Gap Creek. And keep coming down to a creek and to a stream. And then to just a little tiny branch. Is it water? It's all water. But what's the difference in the water? It's the span by which the water is running in. So when we give our hearts to God, do we have a touch of genuine love of God? Absolutely genuine. And I realize as I've looked at this that many people that we've so criticized over the years in the message have said, oh, they don't love God. But they really did love God. But they only loved Him with a cap full. And maybe you're loving Him with a bottle and you're turning around looking at them and saying, you ain't got nothing. You don't love God. Why don't you trust Him? Well, trust and love must be coupled together and it must come by growth. So the degree of love by which God wants us to come up to is the degree toward not just cast out devils, not understand great mysteries, but it drives all slavish fear out of our lives. Let's stand. So love is like every other grace in the life of a Christian, subject to intensity. Subject to intensity with your passion for Christ. You've seen some folks that are passionate. Oh, my, you burn up. You just, man alive. You say, boy, I wish I was like that. They just got such an intensity in their passion. Yet others, they may not quite be that intense, but they love God and they want to do something for God, but they're just not hardly as, go get it. Every time I hear Brother Tony Adma, I'm ready to take on the whole world. I'm scheduled on every major city out of the world. I'm going to go out here and I'm going to... By the time I get home, I've calmed down. I've come to myself. And I realize I'm a pastor. You understand what I'm saying? But in our virtues, given to us by God, there's intensities by which God wants us to reach. This intensity of love. You understand that some can have such an intensity, a miraculous faith. Miraculous faith. They can see miracles transpire. But their love is still that of a teenager. They can pray for others and God will heal them. But if they get sick, oh Lord, call 911, where's the doctor, where's this, where's that? Why? Because then it's not their faith, see. It's their trust for their own self. And that intensity is not as deep as their faith. Boy, they'll stand up and devil, I command you! And that devil gets scared and leave. But when something happens to them, y'all pray for me, will you? Wonder what it'd be if we all had the same intensity of everything. I'm talking about heaven now, ain't I? You love Him? You want a deeper intensity and degree of His love. You believe you love Him, right? You said that. You believe you love Him.
But you believe you need your love to grow up. Many of you are not in the diaper stage anymore with your love. You love God more than that. You're not even a teenager. Maybe in your 20s or early 30s. But still, if things would happen in your home, if you were to go to your job on Monday and the boss say, "We're shutting down the plant. We don't need you anymore." What would be your reaction? Fear. You'd be afraid. You'd be scared. And yet, I read the same before I come to church. A man comes up to Brother Branham in discernment. He said, "Sir, you're really troubled. You've got things you're facing. You're really nervous. Really nervous." Oh, he said, "What it is, you've lost your job. You ain't got no job. But don't think about it again." And I sat there the same, and I read that, and I thought, now this man had one quote to walk off that platform with, one quote. And I'm giving you quote after quote after quote, affirmation after affirmation, scripture after scripture. See, it shows the intensity of darkness has moved against us, or we wouldn't need but one quote. Now you imagine if that man did that and took that prophet's word for it and did not worry about it. God would make a way. Years and years ago, when I worked at a motel in Monticello, me and Carol just got married. And I told him, I said, "I'll work, I'll give my part, but don't ask me to miss church." All right, yeah, we'll let you go. Well, then, oh, you got to start missing church. So the bottom line came down, I said, "Look, I will not miss church." So they gave me my walking papers. On Friday. By Monday, I already had another job across the road, making more money, and a job I never even asked for. I never applied for it. I wasn't even sure what I was going to do yet, but the Lord just worked it out. Now, I wonder where I'd be today if I hadn't put Him first then. God tries us, and He tests us to see, do you love me more than you love these other things? Or your fear, will you let your fear? Okay, Rabbi, I'm sorry, please forgive me. I should have never questioned you. I'll miss every service if I have to, which is what some of y'all have done. I'll miss every service. I mean, if that's what I've got to do to make another dollar, glory to God, the almighty dollar. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Friends, we need money, but money is not eternal. Thank God in heaven, there'll be no money. I know some of y'all will get along for sure because money will be gone. There'll be no banks. Think of it. Perfect love casteth out fear. What if we come in here in the morning, federal marshals are standing here at our doors and say, "Y'all can no longer meet. We've been on your website. This idiot pastor of yours preaches against homosexuality. Which are still our rights, Brother Donnie." Well, you better thank God for everyone you've got, because they're whacking them away as it goes by. You realize our Department of Justice, I read it this week, are already striking from their paperwork the terms husband and wife, mother and father, because it's offensive to the homosexual community. Well, to be honest with you, I don't care what offends them. If they get straightened out, praise the Lord. I read the day where somebody had enough courage to put an app where you can download it on your phone, how to get delivered from being a homosexual. I said, God bless their hearts. Guaranteed results within 60 days. I thought, well, I think we could speed that up a little bit, but. Friends, we have no idea what it's going to come to before we leave this world. We better trust Him now. Amen. Let's pray together. Oh, Lord Jesus. I pray You to help us tonight, Father. Lord, I look back at my walk and I see the different stages You brought me through. And I see I've grown, not only in my knowledge, my understanding of the Word, but I've grown in my love.
When Brother Bam went beyond the curtain of time and he come back and he said, thus saith the Lord, it'll take perfect love to get you there. How is it, the Lord, that we as message people and message preachers focus so much on doctrines and not perfect love? We want everybody to see what we see, and that's how somehow we think that's what'll put them in. And many of them are babies and teenagers when it comes to their love. But we act as if though these doctrines will put them in. And when we say and believe that, we're teaching contrary to what your prophet taught us. John didn't say perfect doctrine, but cast out fear. We need doctrine. We must have it. But yet Judas' doctrine was as perfect as the rest of the apostles. But he never had perfect love and could never get it. Help us, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lamb of God. I'm sure tonight, Lord, there's many of us standing here that can be honest and say, my love needs to grow up. Because if the doctor tells me a pathology test come back bad, I'd go all to pieces. If the doctor told me my wife's pap smear or whatever more, my blood work turned out bad, I'd go all to pieces. Fear would not only initially strike my heart, but fear would motivate me for weeks and months. Help them to see, Lord, it's not inhuman. You don't even rebuke us for feeling initial shocking things of fear. But what you don't want is for that fear to control our lives, our emotions, who we are. Lord Jesus, help me tonight, Lord. Let my love grow. Let my love mature. Let it become seasoned. I know what I'm asking for. I know that I'm asking for things that will help me, as it were, to blindly trust you. When I pray and you don't answer seemingly. When I read your word and seemingly I get nothing out of it. But yet I trust you. I go to church, I feel nothing. I raise my hands, I feel nothing. I worship, I feel nothing. But I know you're there. Oh, help us, Jesus. Help my love to grow up, Lord. I can face my tomorrows because He lives. Let's sing it now. My fear of missing the rapture, not being the bride, not being a part of the Word, it's gone. I know, yes, I know. My future, Lord God, you see this need, I pray. Because He lives, everybody now. Because He lives, the bride can face tomorrow. All because Jesus lives. All my tormenting fear is gone. Because I know He holds my past, my present, and my future, and life is worth the living just because. Everybody, let's raise your hands now. Oh, Lord Jesus, no fear in love. No fear in love. I can face tomorrow. Lord Jesus, hallelujah. Is that the way you feel tonight, friends?
Not because your party's in the White House. Not because stocks and bonds are high. But because He lives. Because He lives. Praise the Lord. Oh Lord, I know He holds my future. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Listen to this. We'll look at it again in the morning. Adoption paragraph 104. Thus saith the Lord. It'll take perfect love to put you in that place. For all that was there, no matter how many religious demonstrations, how many good deeds you've done, or whatever you've done, that won't count nothing. Nothing on that day. It'll take perfect love. So whatever you do, lay aside everything else till you are just so filled with the love of God. Till you can love those who hate you. Praise God. Praise God. Can you say you're there, Brother Donnie? Not yet. Not yet. But I'm well on my way. And I will be there. I will be there. But Brother Donnie, it's 9:10. What if the rapture happens by 12? It'll be an absolute spiritual explosion because I'll have to grow between now and then. I will. I'll have to go because if I'm a part of that, I am not going to be left behind. I have that much confidence in Him, not in me. In Him. Amen. Let's sing it together now. Let's just close our eyes if you would. Now think. Can you trust Him? No matter what bad things come your way. Brother Charlie Cox had a sickness and some things bothered him several years ago, and I heard about it. I called him and said, Brother Charlie, how you doing? He said, well, I'm on the bad side of Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to them who love the Lord. So he was on that negative side. Well, there's some things going on that just didn't seem right. Maybe you're on that side of Romans 8:28 tonight. He knows what you're going through. But maybe through this dark time, it'll help you trust a little more. That when you're crying and praying for deliverance, and it seems like God is turning a deaf ear, remember, He still hears you when you pray. You believe Jesus ever prays a prayer that God don't hear? You believe Jesus, His prayers are answered? Do you? Answer me. A brother man told us, if you're in Christ, then when you pray, He don't actually hear you, He hears Jesus. So if you're praying in the right frame of mind and the right motive and the right objective, just because you don't get an answer immediately, it don't mean you didn't hear your prayer. He might have said no. He might have said yes. He might have said wait a while. I'll answer you in a week from now, a month from now, whatever. But He hears us when we pray. If we pray in faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because He lives, the bride in Africa can face tomorrow. Oh, because He lives, the bride in Poland and Russia, her fear of the Iron Curtain, it is gone. Because He lives. Oh, because
bride can face her tomorrows. Because our Lord lives, my fear of missing the rapture, it's all gone. It's because,
hallelujah! Thank you, Lord. Make me perfect in love, Lord God.
My future and life is worth the living just because He lives.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We want to have prayer again for Brother Bill Yonce. I'm not sure what Brother Louis said about him before the service, but Brother Bill had a little bit of a back set last night. And he kind of passed out, and they had to put him on a ventilator, and just a little bit of regression somewhat. But we know that God, our God, is greater than any regression. He's greater than any symptoms, greater than anything that's going on. And Brother Joseph Hammond, the Lord had spoke to him and told him to come up to Johnson City and to pray for Brother Bill. And he came up and prayed for him and had such a wonderful turnaround. And then it seemed like after that the devil just hit him. That's the way he does, ain't it? Which is one of the best signs you're healed. Amen. So we just want to pray for our brother tonight. Also pray for Sister Shirley, the family and the church. That God will just strengthen them and help them during this time. Just take them on your heart, would you? I've just been so burdened for them and so troubled for them. Let's just pray for them tonight if you would. Lord Jesus, we certainly are with the many, many other people of God around the world that are praying for Brother Bill. Lord, as I've been sharing the updates and things that I've been getting from Brother Jason with different brothers in different places, and I know that people are certainly reaching out to you for our brother. Heavenly Father, you see what happened to him last night, and something about his respiratory and his oxygen going real low, Lord, and he passed out. And Lord, they put him on the respirator, and you just see the issues that's there, Lord. As far as I know, he still can't swallow, and the blood clot is still there in his brain. Lord, we need you to just move that thing, Lord God. Heavenly Father, the doctors don't have a procedure that they can do, or it'd be too dangerous to do a surgery. But Lord God, we know that you can go right there in his brain, Lord, and just annihilate that blood clot. Heavenly Father, we pray for the miraculous power of God to touch our brother. Lord, I received that text from Brother Jason last night about 11 or so, that they was going to take him out of intensive care today and put him in a step down room, and they were just so happy. And then just in a little bit, Lord, that thing hit him again. But Father, we want to look beyond circumstance and look beyond things like that and look to the promise of your word. Until we hear different from you, we're believing, Lord God, you're going to raise him up. Lord, move for him. I pray for his family. I pray for his church. Lord, several of his family, you're coming to our church. I pray for them, Lord, that you just help them strengthen Brother Bill. Lord God, we ask. Grant it, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. And the church said,
amen.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Oh, Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is He. He's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, pray.
Let's sing it again before we go.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace.
I bet you sing, see you in the morning.
Saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame.